Hey, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today.
Good morning, everyone. What a beautiful winter's morning. No snow, but how fun was the snow this week? Who did snow fighting? Oh, really? Yes, you gotta have a snow fight. We took a detour to school one morning. I said, I gotta just detour by some snow and throw some snowballs at the kids. You know, it just has to be done. Well, let's come with me to Luke 11. What an amazing passage is Luke 11 as we take a whole year to walk through just the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we're about halfway. It's June. And Luke 11 is a chapter on prayer, and what a mighty place to really dive in. So let me pray. Lord Jesus, as we uncover your teachings on prayer, I'm praying that you reveal to us some incredible things this morning. You actually help us how to pray. Jesus, I'm praying that by the time we finish, that we'd have confidence in prayer. We'd have an ability to pray and that we'd be modeling what you taught us. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, prayer is one of those words, isn't it? Like it conjures up all kinds of images from, you know, different kinds of prayer rituals that you see in different religious practices through to, you know, the fear of how do I pray? You know, what does it actually mean for me to pray? Should I pray? How long do I pray? So many Christians find this very difficult because, you know, what does it mean to pray? What is prayer? Some people say it's a conversation with God, and then I see all these weird things happening throughout history. Well, Jesus taught us how to pray, and we're going to dive right in there in Luke 11. So Jesus was in a certain place praying. All right, so Jesus prayed. You got to understand this. Jesus is God. Jesus needs to pray. If Jesus prays, my goodness, do we need to pray? So Jesus spends his life praying. Even though he is God, he's in constant connection to his Father. Wow. Like, I would have thought that Jesus had it all together, that he wouldn't need to pray. But Jesus, for us, models prayer. So he's constantly disappearing up a mountain. He's getting up early mornings. He's escaping the crowds. He's finding a place to pray, to connect with his Father. It's that important. It is his number one thing that he prays. He prays. And so his friends, the disciples, are going, where's Jesus now? Where's he gone now? And they twig after a while, who's praying? And then they said, well, Jesus, can you teach us how to pray? Lord, teach us. You obviously got something going on. We see you come back. We see you confident, walking where you need to go. Can you tell us how to pray? And I bet they were waiting for a long sermon on the mount kind of thing, you know. All right, boys, settle back. Jesus is going to teach us how to pray. You know, this will take a couple of hours. And Jesus is incredibly surprising. And Jesus says in verse 2, he says, this is how you should pray. And do you know what he says? He says there's just five things. Wow. It's not complicated. This is accessible. Anyone can do it anytime. And he just lists his five things. He says, Father, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. Give us each day the food we need. And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation. That's it. That took me about a minute. This, what I'm going to share this morning, could revolutionize your prayer life. I want to take away the fear of not knowing how to pray. I want to look at the simplicity of what Jesus says. And he actually says, this is how you should pray. So how should we pray? let's do it like Jesus showed us how to pray. And I think we'd be onto something. Okay, so I'm going to spend some time just unpacking those five things. Now, I've been on a prayer journey myself. Prayer is a journey. And I've been a Christian for, 26 years. And I grew up in a church as well. So I've been around prayer a long time. But these last 6 months, I reckon I've learned how to pray more than I ever have. Not in complicated prayers, but by following this. Father, may your name be kept holy. What if every morning of our lives, the first thoughts on our heart were to connect with God? Like, what if instead of good Lord, it's morning, it's good morning, Lord? What if we just have that when we wake up with a simple mantra, like a simple way of the instant we're conscious to go, I'm just going to enter into a time of prayer. Whether I'm lying in my bed or if I'm stumbling out to go to the bathroom or if I'm, you know, in the shower or whatever you do first. What if the first waking thoughts of your day were to connect with God, your Father? And what if the last thoughts of your day as you drifted off to sleep weren't in fear or anxiety, but in prayer? I think that if you could do this same prayer morning and night, every day, you would find a greater sense of God's life in your heart. I see it. I see it working. But you see, we're very, very quick to forget. I'm quick to forget. I forget things all the time that I should. So I have to make up little games, little ways for me to remember how to pray. Because if I don't, it's like, I made this resolution last week that I should pray this, or I've done all of it. Right? I've made a list on Evernote. Right? Here's my prayer list that I'm going to pray. And I get to about week two, and that's right, I had a list. Or I write it down in my paper diary, all these things, and I start well, but I just forget. And then I get a new system and a new plan, and is that just me? Yeah, right, it's just me. Because I'm always inventing new ways of organizing my prayer life, right? But this works. One day as I was praying, I looked down at my Bible, right, and I saw my hand. I thought, I look at my hand a lot. I mean, when you're driving the car, when I'm typing on the computer, when I'm reading books, right? Probably your hand is the thing you see the most. I mean, I don't see my nose. You do. But I see my hands probably more than any other part of my body all the time. So I thought, right, I'm a computer guy, right? I'm going to assign function keys to each finger. Right? Stay with me. If I had a prayer for each finger, then I would remember as soon as I woke up in the morning what to pray. It's like playing the piano, except I can just press the thumb wherever I am, in the car, on the computer, and I remember to pray, Father, your name is holy. Number one. Wouldn't that be, it works. It works for me. I wake up in the morning, Father, your name is holy. Father, I have a father. And then I just start meditating on what that actually means, thinking about it. Now, if I'm in a hurry, I can just pray that in a minute. But often I just chew over it. Thank you, Father. I have a father. I'm not an accident. I have a father who loves me dearly. I have a father who has a face, who created me, a good father, a loving father. Maybe your experience of having a father is not that. Or maybe you don't know your father. Maybe you don't have a father now, but I'm telling you, you have a father in heaven regardless. And every morning, that first word as you wake up is Father. Father, thank you, Father. Thank you that you're a good Father, full of loving kindness and grace and mercy, full of compassion. and you start to just recall to your sleepy brain who your Father is. And He's holy. He's intimate, but He's powerful, right? He's imminent, but He's transcendent. He's close, but He's away. Holy, holy. You know, the Bible says that the angels cry out, holy, 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 Lord, all the time. That's what they do. It's like they kind of launch this word holy all around heaven. Holy! Read this in Isaiah 6 and Revelation. Sorry, Isaiah 6, Revelation 8. Is John and Isaiah both see the same vision of heaven with these angels crying, holy, holy. Like God is holy. He's powerful. He's almighty. He's set apart. He's huge. So I can wake up each morning and go, I have an awesome, holy Father who's all powerful, and yet He allows me to call me Father. And that's just the first minute of my day. Suddenly I realize who I am and who my God is, and I'm into a different space. And then I can pray, Your kingdom come. Think of two. Your kingdom come. What does that mean? Your kingdom come. It means the kingdom of God is the culture or the rule and reign of Christ in heaven. Is there sickness in heaven? Is there poverty in heaven? Is there evil in heaven? You know, all the things that we experience on earth are not in heaven. So when Jesus came to earth, he brought with Him the kingdom. He said, the kingdom of God has come amongst you. And so wherever He went, he brings in this cloud, this culture, this DNA of the heavens. So where He goes, sickness disappears. Where He goes, poverty disappears. Where He goes, goodness comes and love and fear disappears. You see, that we are kingdom bringers. So what Jesus asked us to pray, He says, pray that My kingdom would come every day through you. So my workplace, my family. What would it be that the kingdom of God would come through me to bring peace and life and goodness and blessing everywhere I go? So I'm praying as a sleepy head in bed, Lord, Your kingdom come into my family, into my workplace, into my city, into my street. Your kingdom come to the city of Bathurst. Your kingdom come to Australia. Your kingdom come to the whole planet. You know, I get a bit carried away sometimes, but like, isn't it exciting? We get to be bearers of the kingdom, carriers of a huge DNA. Just like, you know, not maps just like, but you know when the Romans have invaded countries, they brought Roman culture, different languages. When countries kind of colonize each other, they bring the DNA of the colonizing country, right? So you speak different languages and you have different rules and laws. That's just like the kingdom of God. So God, use me. This is number two. God, use me to be a carrier of the kingdom of God everywhere I go today. And then three, He says, just pray for the food that you need. Give us today the food that we need. It's provision. Lord, I'm thanking You that I've got a bed. I'm thanking You that I'm living in a house. I'm thanking You that there's food on the table. I'm thanking You that I have provision. And then I can pray for the things that are bearing down on me. You know, I've got a gas bill coming. I know it. It's winter. It's not going to be pretty. I got things coming that I know, Lord, I need Your help with these things. Lord, I need Your provision. I need work or, you know, whatever it is for You. I need a house. I need a car, a job. So Jesus actually says, pray. Ask Me for those things. He's interested in our welfare. You could pray. God, open a door for me to, you know, have a job or whatever it is. Just pray. He says, give us this prayer. Why does He ask us to pray that? Because He wants us to know that He's all-sufficient. He is our provider. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He is our provider. At the end of the day, He is the one who provides all our needs. It's a good thing that we're dependent on an almighty God who is our Father. And then He says, number four, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. This is better than having a shower each day. Cleansing forgiving. It cleanses our heart. There's two things there. He says, Lord, forgive things that I've done wrong. Each morning, each night. Forgive the thoughts I've had or the actions that I did or the intentions or the just the way I didn't treat that person so well or I didn't respond to that when I should have. You know, the things I did and shouldn't do or things I didn't do and should have done. Right? Without beating myself up, I just know that I'm very human and I can just clean the slate every morning, every night. What an awesome thing to do as you drift off to sleep. Lord, I'm sorry. Thank you for your forgiveness. It's not to stay in a state of despair and woe is me and I'm a loser and all that. No, no, just Lord, forgive me for that thing. I'm sorry. Move on. I tell you, living free is so good. You don't have to hold grudges. You don't have to carry things in your heart for years, for decades. You know, some people carry things for decades. They don't forgive things. But Jesus says, then you need to forgive other people who've hurt you. So every day, what's someone done to me that's caused me pain? Okay, I forgive. I forgive. And sometimes you got to keep just saying, I forgive. I forgive. One day you'll feel it. But start declaring. What a beautiful thing. Just cleanse your soul. Live free. And then, interesting one this, I reckon. Number five, don't let us yield to temptation. Why would he pray that? Why would he pray that? You see, we have an enemy who likes to get us down. Satan is out to destroy God's people. He prowls around like a lion. Schemes things. What's really interesting, here's a great scripture, 1 John 2:16. It says this, it uncovers the three ways that Satan will try and pull you down. It's the desires of the eyes, the desires of the flesh, and then the wisdom, the understanding of better things, the pride of life. And if you think of those three things, that was what Eve and Adam were tempted in the garden. The desires of the eyes. Apple looks awesome. The desires of the flesh. I want to eat it. We shifted from our eyes to, I want to consume this thing. To the pride of life. To, you could be wise. You could be all-knowing. Same three things. Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness. Bread. Authority, fame. It's amazing, amazing scripture, 1 John 2:16. What a good thing to pray every morning, to be aware of the schemes of the devil. Then I can be free. I can depend on him. It's not a negative thing. It's an opportunity to overcome. It's like putting up a shield. I'm going to live well today. You see, we need a system to help us to pray. And it doesn't really matter how you do it. I'm just showing you what I do. But however you do it, find a way to keep that momentum going in prayer. But then he goes on. Have I lost? No, I'm back. And he said to them. So he says, okay, here's a schema of how to pray. But then he tells them a story. Jesus loves his stories, okay? He says, which of you has a friend who will go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me three loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing for him to eat. So there's a scenario. Midnight, someone knocks on your door. Friend. He's an extra neighbor. Friend. I've got these guests who've come and I've got nothing in my food. Can you give me some loaves of bread? So what are you going to say? Go away. It's 12 o'clock in the night. Kids are asleep. The house is locked up. The dog's away. No. But verse 8 is curious, isn't it? He says this. I tell you this, though he won't do it for friendship's sake, if you keep knocking long enough, he will get up and give you whatever you need because of your shameless persistence. Some translations say impudence or annoyance. What is Jesus saying here? I tell you, keep on asking and you'll receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. This is persistence. These are the things to pray for that you need answers for. And Jesus, this is amazing, but he invites us to annoy him. See that? See, we're so polite in prayer sometimes. Lord, if it be your will, would you give me $1 million? Lord, if it be your will, and we try and put on a holy voice, you know. Holy, holy Lord, if it be your will. What is Jesus saying? He says, knock. And I looked up these words in the original language. Knock actually means to rap loudly. Like get loud on your knocking. Don't be passive. Bang down the door. It's what it says in that original context. It's just keep knocking. You know when you go to someone's door and you go, I'm not sure if this is the right door, or maybe they're asleep. Just give a little tap. Ever done it? Oh, they're not here. It's not up. Be bold. Knock. Knock loudly. And he says, keep on knocking. Like, who would do that to a neighbor at midnight? You're very polite people here. I mean, when was the last time you really bothered somebody for something? We live in a world of text messages. We don't even have to ring people now. Would you be able to? But shameless knocking and asking. Wow. And then he says, seek. That means look in order to find something. It's not just a casual glance, but I've lost something in this room and I'm going to overturn every chair until I find it. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep looking, keep searching. It's the present continuous. It's keep on doing it is what it's actually saying. And he says, ask is to beg or crave for. And again, who's ever been in a begging situation? We really want something and, oh, can you please help me with this? Please. Kids do it all the time. They're great. Please. It's dessert night, isn't it? Please. Because we're into a very polite world. But I don't see Jesus saying that prayer should be polite. So how are you going to do consistent, annoying, shameless praying throughout the day? Because what if you could just keep, I reckon I've got another hand. See, Lord's Prayer. But then, what about through the day? And I reckon I look at my left hand more than my right hand. What if I assign a prayer, something I'm really chasing after, to my thumb every day? Every time I see my thumb, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Shameless. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Here's another one. See, what if you've got five things that you really need answered? Jesus invites us to pray shamelessly. How's it going to be for you? I read this fun little book. It's called The Game with Minutes by an old missionary guy called Frank Laback in the 40s. He sets himself the challenge. He says, I want to pray every minute, every day. And he just like this second prayers, bang, bang. He just wants to acknowledge. It's just such fun. It's just a great idea, you know. He says, so during play hours, it's written in old language, praying, merchants and bankers, how you can pray through the day. In the home, when in school, be my last thought as I lie down. Men at work, how to pray when men at work. Monday morning, when walking alone, when thinking, while reading a book. You know, so he said, like, whatever you're doing, just involve God in it. When we are reading a newspaper, magazine, or book, we read it to him. We glance at an empty chair where we visualize him. When thinking, if you lean back and think about some problem deeply, can you remember God? Form a new habit and invite him into thinking about it. When at the table, while in conversation, on a train or in a crowd. Sounds like Dr. Seuss book. So I, look, just there's got to be ways that we are consistently praying, asking, seeking, knocking, so that we have a great sense of that God is with us. Prayer shouldn't be a mystery. Prayer should be simple and persistent. That's all you got to do. And as you do that, what you'll find is that your life, you start to just be aware of an ongoing conversation throughout the day. The scriptures call it abide in Christ. You suddenly find yourself walking with Christ every day, every moment. Your lifelong friend. You can't get too close to God. There's no limit. Just come, keep coming. Every minute of your day, walk with me. I'll show you how to live and rest. 1 Thessalonians 5, just to finish off. 17 says, pray without ceasing. It's the second shortest scripture in the Bible. Pray without ceasing. Be in a constant state of prayer is another scripture that Paul says. Have an awareness of God throughout the day. It will transform your world. You can't be grumpy at people and still praying to God. It'll help you temptation. It'll help you financial world. It'll help everything. So why don't we, as we close, simply pray. Lord Jesus, I'm going to start. I'm just quickly going to walk through those five things. I just want you in your own heart just to pray. Just to pray. Just connect with these words. Father, Father, your name is holy. Father, your name is holy. May your kingdom come. Give us each day the food we need. Don't let us yield to temptation. Eyes flash and pride of life. Lord, forgive us our sins as we forgive people. Lord Jesus, help for us to pray. Help us to pray simply. Help us to pray persistently. And just ask God to help you this week. Make a plan. Make a decision to pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And you know, just as we finish, the entry point to praying is just inviting Christ into your heart. It's saying, Jesus, I want you in my life. And when he comes in your life, there's simply nothing else that really matters anymore. And he empowers you to live this life, and he gives you victories, and he gives you what he wants. But life suddenly has meaning and purpose. And it starts with a prayer. It says, Jesus, come into my world. I want to be yours. I want to be clean. I want to be born again. And you will find a new life force called the Holy Spirit come and live inside of you. And in that space, life happens. And as a church, we love helping people on that journey. And if you're here this morning and you haven't made that step, that first step into Christ, you can do that right now. Just raise your hand. Anyone just want to make that first step into Christ today or come back into that space if you've been there before? Just give me a wave and we'll start that journey by asking Jesus, thank you. See you. Anybody else just want to make that step into Jesus? Beautiful. I'll go touch base with you in a sec. Thank you, Lord. Help us to pray. Amen.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.